The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back. Monday, March 25th, 2024. I am Seth Leibson. Good to see you, young David and Miss Terry. We have some other visitors from out of town. We've got the whole Mike Gallagher operation.
Well, yes, it is hard to see you because there's, it looks like the network in here. There's a couple of cameras in between us.
I don't see you, but I see myself. I'm on some kind of closed circuit fancy television system here.
I don't see you, but I see myself.
Yeah.
That sounds like a great clip for our board.
602-508-0960. I'd fire them all. And in a better and more serious day, they'd all be fired. I'm talking not only about the hundreds of White House and administration employees that have actively and physically led protests against their own administration regarding Middle East foreign policy, but now the ideologues at NBC who spent yesterday on their flagship Sunday show, Meet the Press, condemning their employer, NBC, for hiring Ronna McDaniel as a contributor. Chuck Todd led the charge, but he was not alone. Here's what happened. And I've never seen anything like it. Ronna McDaniel just left the chairmanship of the RNC. NBC hired her as a contributor. Yesterday, she took her maiden voyage on air in a top-of-the-hour interview with Kristen Welker, the host of Meet the Press. McDaniel was interrupted again and again by Welker, and it was one of the more hostile interviews I've seen on that show. Then, commercial break. After the break, Ronna McDaniel was gone, and Welker hosted a panel of NBC contributors that included Stephen Hayes, Chuck Todd, and some journalist I've never heard of. The topic was the interview with Ronna McDaniel and NBC's hiring of her. You ever know of a public company or private one that allowed a public discussion of a corporate decision led by the employees where each employee is there to condemn the corporation for making the decision that it made? That's what it was. And oh yes, with Ronna McDaniel not invited to the table as they discussed her. So McDaniel had a hostile interview and then a panel after without her to criticize everything she said, where she was the focus. I understand NBC is not a courtroom. But does journalism have anything to say about allowing a victim of the press to confront the person who is their topic face to face and a fellow employee who was just in the studio a few moments ago? Chuck Todd opened by saying this, reading from the transcript. Look, let me deal with the elephant in the room. I think I always love it when someone says it's the elephant in the room. You know why? Because sometimes the only reason it's an elephant in the room is because they're making it one. Sometimes it may not have to be considered a big problem. Anyway, look, let me deal with the elephant in the room. I think our bosses owe you an apology, he says to Kristen Welker, for putting you in this situation, because I don't know what to believe. Yeah, that was really hard for a seasoned journalist to sit down with an ex-chairman from the RNC. That to put her in that position. Oh, my gosh. Everyone's a snowflake now. Chuck Todd goes on. She is now a paid contributor by NBC News. I have no idea whether any answer she gave to you was accurate or not, because she didn't want to mess up her contract, perhaps. She wants us to believe that she was speaking for the RNC when the RNC was paying for it. So she has credibility issues that she still has to deal with. Is she speaking for herself now, or is she speaking on behalf of who's paying her? ? Now, were a single conservative there, or an honest liberal, the right response would have been, I don't know, Chuck Todd, do you ever say things that don't toe the line of your employer right here? I don't know, Chuck Todd, should we question whether you're being honest with us? Should we trust you? I don't know, Chuck Todd. You've said an awful lot that clearly had to do with the paycheck and little to do with credibility. I might start with the Steele dossier and run you through 51 intelligence officials that said the Hunter Biden laptop was a Russian disinformation campaign. Or perhaps someone could ask why NBC employee Michael Steele still works for the network. He, too, is a former chairman of the RNC, after all. Why is he immune from the Chuck Todd questioning? There is an answer, and we all know it, though most of NBC viewers don't know it because they don't think this way. The answer is that Michael Steele, answering to his employer's paycheck, is a severe critic of the Republican Party, especially Donald Trump. That's why he's there. That's why he's tolerable at NBC. The power of that paycheck is, in fact, potent, just not consistently questioned. Journalism at NBC died yesterday. The network of John Chancellor, Hugh Downs, and Tom Brokaw, giants all, has become Lilliput. And I normally wouldn't care except for this. People watch NBC thinking it's the network of Chancellor, Downs, and Brokaw when it is, in fact, the network of whatever the DNC wants. It might as well be a state or government organ of propaganda, all the while pretending it is not. You often may wonder why I quote former communists or prisoners of communism so much. It's because they saw it, they recognized it, and they tried to alert us. And we owe it to their suffering as much as their heroism, as much as to our country and to the notion of freedom, to remember what they learned, suffered, and then said and tried to teach. Here's Vaclav Havel, one of those from the Czech Republic, or then Czechoslovakia. Quote, depriving people of information is called making it available. The use of power to manipulate is called the public control of power. And the arbitrary abuse of power is called observing the legal process. The repression of culture is called cultural development. The expansion of imperial influence is presented as support for the oppressed. The lack of free expression becomes the highest form of freedom. And farcical elections become the highest form of democracy, while banning independent thought becomes the most scientific of worldviews. Because the regime, he says, is captive to its own lies. It must falsify everything. Because the regime is captive to its own lies, it must falsify everything. It falsifies the past, it falsifies the present, and it falsifies the future. It falsifies statistics. It pretends not to possess an omnipotent and unprincipled police apparatus. It pretends to respect human rights. It pretends to persecute no one. It pretends to fear nothing. It pretends to pretend nothing. Individuals need not believe all these mystifications, but they must behave as though they did. That's Vaclav Havel. NBC is in the pretend business, not the news business, and it pretends not to pretend. It pretends to be serious and have you take them seriously. What they are at NBC is pretense. I'm not here to say good things about Ronna McDaniel, but she was victimized here, as was everyone who looks to NBC for at least a pretense of fairness and reporting. By the way, if she had any self-respect, she'd resign from NBC for how they treated her on her first day of work. Not about joining a club that would have you. This is about joining a club that doesn't want you. Who wants to be in that club? Quis custodiet ipsos custodes? That's the question asked by the ancient Roman poet Juvenal. Who governs the governors? There was an answer, and that answer was always and forever since our beginning, the media, the press. The journalists, they're the ones who will govern the governors. The press was almost always seen as inherently ab initio, not only skeptical of government policies, reports, statements, versions of fact and truth, but also unrelenting in its investigation and reporting on it. This was, of course, true during the Palmer raids, as it was the McCarthy era. This was true of Vietnam, and it was true of the excesses of the CIA engaging in domestic surveillance for political operations. It never aped the government line and shut down those who questioned it, as it did throughout the 2016 election, as it did throughout 2017 and 2018 in regard to resentments about the 2016 election, as it did during COVID, as it did when Hunter Biden became an issue. Larger point, folks, we're up against it. We will find no help or even absence of harm from the profession that is supposed to check power and is constitutionally protected to check power. We need to remember this. I'm Seth Leibson, 602-508-0960. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show, 602-508-0960. Tomorrow, we have our Fighting for Freedom event. Mike Gallagher will be on stage with us, the radio host, not the congressman, and Officer Tatum, and myself. We'll have some other special guests. And it's at Arizona Christian University. We still have a few tickets left. You can get them at 960thepatriot.com, 960thepatriot.com. I think we even may have a few VIP tickets left. So we have GA, general admission, and VIP tickets left. 960thepatriot.com. Young David and I look forward to seeing you there. Let's go to Tony in Cave Creek. Hi, Tony.
Hey, Seth. How you doing today, partner?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
Good, man. Second time caller, and it's been a while, but I've heard a lot of shows between now and the first time I called, and I think you, if I could for a second, you probably recall Schweikert was on, and then anyway, I didn't know figuratively that I would make the State of the Union speech or the shrinkflation thing, but I was apparently, since I called, Joe stumbled into a quart and a half of ice cream looking for a half gallon. And but that's what I left you with that day, and you said call back.
Oh, good. I'm glad you did.
I meant to, and I wanted to jump in there, but I just told the screener, are we past time to just lose the Republican Democrat label and just you know, the critical thinker? Is it time we just label this American or un-American, you know, this policy stuff? It's a
get rid of political parties.
I don't care what side of, you know, we keep I say we, I'm affiliated with neither, but we just can't seem to get anything done, you know.
Well, it's not a unique thought. Go ahead.
The masks are off. They used to be on, but they're off now, and they don't seem to really mind, you know, tipping their hand.
Well, it's not a unique thought. You might be interested to know, if you don't already, that perhaps the most famous person to agree with you on this point was George Washington. In his farewell address, he lamented the development of political parties in America. He said they lead to jealousy and animosity. He said they pit one part of the country against another in unhealthy ways. If I'm not mistaken, I think he also said they can lead to riots and insurrection. He was ahead of the curve, as he was on so many other things, Tony. The parties will probably, or some version of them will probably remain, because they've become such important fundraising vehicles and vote collecting apparatuses, although some of it might change and crack. For example, there are some other outside organizations that are doing registration type work and ballot chasing type work. There are other organizations that have exploited, not in a pejorative sense, but exploited the use of raising independent expenditure money on behalf of candidates. So some of those functions, which were exclusive to the party apparatuses, have been reduced, and others have taken the lead. Now, as far as the labeling goes, I kind of like your framework, American, un-American. I just don't know how many people might self-select.
Yeah, I get it.
But you'd be surprised how many would. I mean, there is a party called the Democratic Party that is constitutionally bound and determined to say that they don't like the phrase "Make America Great Again," that they don't like the phrase "America First." They are announcing that any invocation to patriotic fervor is distasteful. They are announcing it. So maybe we'd be surprised and they would join an un-American party.
Yeah, it's amazing. And another thing, not too long back, I stumbled onto a discussion about the Fairness Doctrine, and then it led into let's say what happened to Bernie Sanders. His own party blindsided him, and then he sued them and he won, but they're their own club, right?
Yeah, so I'm trying to remember the connection to the Fairness Doctrine. What was
what happened to that was Reagan.
Yeah.
God bless him, but I think there was some pushback on, the Christian right, for obvious reasons, we don't want to hear Satan's side, right?
I don't remember what happened with Bernie. I just don't.
So you got to let somebody tell their side of the story. And
It might have been an equal time thing, which is a little bit different. It might have been with an announced candidate having to do with unfair campaign contribution or expenditure. It might more have had to do with that. But in any event, go ahead.
Okay, and it may be a different. And if it's a different,
it's okay.
Idea altogether.
I take apologize the point,
about
I
that.
Think.
But the point being. The DNC they make their own rules.
Yes.
So what he sued them over when they cut him out,
yeah,
when he was
I take
running,
your point. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then the judge, says, okay, or the settlement was, okay, you win, but that's all you get.
Yeah.
You won.
Okay.
Because you can't do anything about it because they are their own club and they make their own rules up. I say not unlike maybe the RNC.
I don't remember it well enough, but I will say this: whatever he won in a lawsuit is less material,
correct,
than the fact that he won the ideological war within the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party is now a Bernie Sanders ideology party. He used to be the kook sitting in Congress from Vermont. Now he is the king of doctrine for the Democratic Party. I don't know if he were to win the presidency how it would look any different than now, except that you would have someone who's a little bit more sensate, a little bit more, maybe even a lot of bit more able to articulate the policies. Right. But it would be the same general governance that you're getting from this Biden administration. People were convinced trying to convince themselves that Biden was a moderate, but what they didn't understand was Biden was never really a moderate. He was just always in the center of where the Democratic Party is or was, and the Democratic Party now is, no matter what it was, a left-wing Bernie Sanders party. Okay, thank you, brother. Do call again. Always good talking to you. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show, 602-508-0960. John Dombrowski is the president and founder of Grand Canyon Planning Associates. GrandCanyonPlanning.com is his website. It's a happy and fun and energetic site. It's a good place to learn about what Grand Canyon Planning may be able to do for you. Good place to reach out to John. He brings us our culture and economy update. How you doing there, brother?
Wonderful. How you doing, Seth?
I'm well. I hope you had a good weekend.
I did. It was a little chilly. I was up north. It was cold.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
It's cold down here, too, I heard.
Yeah, a little bit. It doesn't stop Dagny. She uh, She goes on her walk no matter what the weather.
Oh, yeah. My dogs don't mind the cold.
Yeah, right? I know. It's weird, yeah. Huh? I think they have a different way of regulating their body temperature.
Built-in blanket.
Something.
Yeah,
or they just like to annoy. I don't know. We wouldn't say they're annoying, would we?
Not at all.
You and I like to sometimes read what comes from Steve Moore's desk.
Mm-hmm.
He has an Unleashed Prosperity newsletter. He brought out something kind of interesting on something interesting you and I were talking about last week when we were talking about these effective mandates for electric vehicles that are coming out of the administration.
Right.
And one of the things that we didn't see coming, I don't think anyone did, but occurred to Steve, is that these cars, these electric vehicles, will most likely not be made in America. At the rate we are going right now, they'll have to come from China.
Yeah, well, we talked about this last week. You're exactly right, where we talked about the current U.S. automakers and how they were being kind of pushed into the corner to really roll out EV vehicles. And what they were doing is retooling their factories to do so based on the mandate that the current administration was pushing.
Right.
However, the consumer was not buying it.
Right.
And so the real challenge showed up when the cost of producing these vehicles was so great, and being that there wasn't really the market that many believed there would be, vehicle manufacturers decided, hey, we need to change our course of action again. Mm-hmm. And they started to, you know, pull back on the full EV vehicles and creating more hybrids, which seemed to be doing well.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the current administration is pushing this electric vehicle progress. You know, their progress, they want it to happen so quickly that the only way it's going to happen is if we begin to import probably vehicles, because the U.S. car makers are not going to be manufacturing them in the numbers that I think the government wants them to.
And,
how does it happen?
And the batteries are a real problem given our restrictions on mining, right?
Right. And, you know, reading through this, you know, talking about, I guess, a report that there could be an estimated $10 trillion in resources that we have here alone in our own country that the, you know, current Congress is not going to allow to be mined. So you're right, Seth. So where are we going to get it from? Well, you know, our adversary, China, is more than willing to provide that. And where are they going to build them? We talked about it last week. I mentioned they're going to be trying to do it, building them in Mexico, across our border.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be real easy for them to, at least in their mind, maybe to get them across the border. Now, if President Biden stays in office, that may be the case. Yep. But if there's a change of guard, I believe former President Trump has stated that he is not going to allow that to happen without a major tariff on those vehicles.
That is such a great point. And it's interesting, too, that you mentioned the $10 trillion in minerals that we may be sitting on top of right here that we aren't touching or that we can't touch by dint of really administrative action here. It's not just that, which is making life more expensive and more inconvenient when it comes to everything you derive minerals from, including electric vehicle batteries.
Right.
But when you look at the other thing he was putting together for us, Steve Moore, kind of interesting about the cost wind and solar power is given to the consumers, like in California. Kind of interesting
of
how they are paying twice as much
the national
for their
average
power or as they are so reliant on wind and solar.
Yeah. So the cost of the thought of clean energy all sounds great. But we're nowhere near there yet, Seth. And you can't constantly be putting the burden on the public for all of this. And that's what's happening. And it's just not working. People are not accepting this. And that's why we're seeing this outflow of people from California. You can't afford to live there anymore.
Nope. Thank you, John.
It's unfortunate. Yep. You bet. You can check out our website, GrandCanyonPlanning.com, and request an appointment there with me right at the website. Securities and advisory services offered through Creative One Securities LLC, a member of FINRA and SIPC, and an investment advisor, Grand Canyon Planning Associates LLC, and Creative One Securities LLC, not affiliated. Thank you, Seth.
Well, welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. I didn't know we were going to come in with that. That's fun. A little Gordon Lightfoot, carefree highway. And the reason it's a little extra fun for me is this segment is a little extra fun for me. One of my longest time friends in this business is in town. He is Eric Hansen. Many of you who are regular listeners to the Mike Gallagher Show know Eric. I have known Eric for exactly 20 years this month, actually. And he's in town helping with the Gallagher Show. And so I just thought it would be fun to have you in the studio. People hear you on the mic on his show. Let's hear you on the mic on this show. How are you, man? It's good to see you.
I'm doing well. It's been a really long day, yeah. Really interesting day. But it's great to be here and great to see you, of course. We
have spent a lot of interesting time together.
Yes.
The audience may not know, when we used to do our show in New York, you were always there for us. So we'd show up in pajamas at gosh knows what hour, in the morning,
sure.
4 in the morning at the Empire State Building.
That was a regular appointment at about 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah. You put up with my cigarettes in those days. Not that anyone would know I was smoking inside the Empire State in my formerly nicotine-stained fingers. You also introduced me to the best sandwich in the world.
Indeed.
It was a liverwurst sandwich.
Liverwurst and onions, mustard.
For breakfast.
Yes, for breakfast.
You brought us liverwurst sandwiches.
Well,
you had us order them, yeah.
As you recall, Bill Bennett, who, by the way, is one of the greatest people ever.
We had fun, huh?
Yeah, and he would come for like a week.
Yeah.
I could only eat egg sandwiches. And it was very funny because we used to order from a deli down the street. And they would make any kind of sandwich at any time of day, so you guys would get your eggs. And then I was just sitting in the studio eating my liverwurst and onions. And I remember Bill walking in and going, What the heck is that?
We had never seen liverwurst. And it's delicious.
It's the best.
It's the best.
Yeah, love it.
And then we hooked up in Israel.
You did?
You took us. You took a few of us around. One particular Saturday, you took us to this great restaurant.
Yeah. We went.
It was in a village. What was it? I think Abu Ghosh.
Sure. I think it's Abu Ghosh. And it was the reason I went there and the reason I took you there is because I had been to Israel once before. And what I discovered, Israel's a wonderful country. It's not so great if you're trying to eat on a Saturday.
Saturday days are difficult.
Yeah, right. Restaurants on a Saturday, not the easiest thing
in the
world.
Your name is Eric Hansen.
Yeah. Sure enough.
Harder for you to say than me, but I was being,
enough.
With you.
but we went, and so I had gone to this to Abu Ghosh another time late at night, and it was the only restaurant open on it. It was actually a Friday night. And it was me and Joey Hudson and one other person. We were the only people in the place, and we had the most amazing meal. So when I saw you in Israel a few years later, it was like, what are you doing? He's like, well, I don't know what I'm going to do.
It was one of the best meals we had.
Oh, it was incredible. And it was like $40.
Was it?
I mean, it was ridiculously inexpensive and some of the best food you will ever eat.
Yeah, it was a really good time. And then I think we had a late night at a bar in Israel, too, if I'm not mistaken.
That is very possible. Most of that information strictly on a need-to-know basis.
Okay. Anyway, so you're here in Phoenix. We've got the Fighting for Freedom event tomorrow with Mike Gallagher. Again, the radio host, folks, not the congressman. Brandon Tatum, myself. You can still get tickets. We have a few general assembly and general admission and VIP at 960thepatriot.com. Mike loves Phoenix. We love having him in Phoenix. How much does he like traveling? Some hosts like it more than others. My sense is he likes it.
It's a great source of controversy because when I ask him, he'll say, I can't stand traveling. But the truth is, I think he actually loves it.
Yeah, he does.
He loves meeting people and coming out to events and talking to people about the issues that really matter to everybody, which is why he goes to places like Phoenix and Sacramento. We were in Columbus last week and we'll be going to a host of cities over the next bunch of months.
You've been with Mike since the beginning, too, haven't you? Pretty much.
Yeah, he was. I'll just tell you real quick. I was working for the ABC Radio Network, and he was a client of mine.
Like WABC or something?
Not WABC Radio Network in New York City.
Okay.
And he was a client because he was starting a show. He was starting a syndicated show, and he needed studios. And he needed someone to run his show. And I said, I got the perfect person. And we hired somebody else. We had a bunch of people. We had a number of people. And over the course of a few months, just shaking out a new show, the person we had initially had left. And I had been working on the show as a service provider. And he walked into my office one day and said, how would you like a job? I said, well, what are we talking about here? And he made a nice offer and is like, I'm in.
Yeah.
And that was 25 years ago.
Yeah, 25 now.
Yeah,
25. Well, I listen to his show as much. I think the two shows I listen to the most, just because of my schedule and the way I, you know, lead my weird life, it's Mike Gallagher's show and the Dennis Prager show. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, Mike's show is so damn good. And, you know, everyone always says, well, during an election year, it's always busier. Mike has been great since I started in 2004. I've always liked him. But he gets, man, he just gets better every year. And I don't know how to keep saying it because he was great then. But it is a great show.
Yeah,
you guys have a lot of fun. Music's a big part.
Yeah.
Although he never comments on it.
That's okay. That's okay. I mean, it isn't so much commenting on the music as it is the feeling you get when you hear it. I mean, that's what music is about, right?
Yeah.
And the show's gone through an evolution over the years. You know, it was one kind of show when we first started. It was always a political show, but we used to do a lot of different
things.
Culture. We did more culture, and over the years, just because of the way the times have changed, we've done more politics. And I'll tell you, again, when I was at ABC, we worked with every single talk show, every national talk show in the country, every single one. I heard them all. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there were a lot of them. You know, I probably could have taken a job with a lot of them.
Yeah.
But to be honest, and don't tell them I said this, so everyone just keep it a secret, okay? Just pretend like you're not hearing this. But it was the only show, I remember hearing that show and thinking, this is a show that's going to be around for a while.
Yeah.
I thought a while, like 3 to 5 years at least.
Yeah.
So to be here for 25 years later is surprising. But it's a great show, and he's an amazing host, and he makes it look easy.
And he's at the top of his game.
Yeah, still, after all these years.
After all these years, he's at the top of his game. He does make it look easy. What's the most interesting thing to you about the job that you have working with Mike, working in talk radio? What do you look forward to most every day? Is it learning something? Is it learning something from an audience perspective? Is it learning something because you're forced into knowing the news? Is it what is the most?
Yeah, I you know, and you know, the content is one part of what I do, but if the audience could see what I've done to your studio.
You're going to hear about it.
Yeah, it's just one part of it. I think it's in some ways it's the unpredictability of it. It's always different. Every day it's different.
Yeah. That's a good point. It is you never know what it's the Forrest Gump's
right.
box.
It's
box
not chocolate. Selling insurance. It's different every day.
Especially when he sings.
Yeah.
But he's kind of a Broadway actor. I mean,
sings. He's a real singer.
He likes acting in show tunes and stuff, Damn Yankees and things like that. Well, Eric Hansen, it's always good to see you.
A pleasure. Thank you.
Well, welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show, 602-508-0960. David Marcus is going to be joining us in the next hour, an incredibly prolific writer. You see his stuff everywhere from the Daily Mail to the New York Post to Fox News. He was just in Israel on a tour, and especially the rough parts. And we're gonna talk to him about his what he learned from that trip. I want to thank Y Refi especially today because they underwrote our event that's taking place tomorrow night at Arizona Christian University. Fighting for Freedom with Mike Gallagher and Brandon Tatum and myself, such that the ticket prices are lower than any other ticket prices we've ever had. Y Refi made that possible. Y Refi sponsors portions of the show. You can check them out at investyrefi.com. That's invest, the letter Y, then refy.com, or give them a call at 888-Y-REFI-24. What they have for you is a secure investment in a collateralized portfolio where you can earn up to a 10.25% fixed rate of return, and it's not correlated to the stock market or the Federal Reserve. With YRefi, you have so much flexibility. There are absolutely no fees. You can turn your income on or off. You, of course, get a monthly statement with no surprises and no attack on principal if you ever need your money back. Check them out at investyrefi.com or call them at 888-YREFI-24. Young David, what was the best part of your weekend in case we don't get a chance to chat a little bit more? Did you do anything fun?
I had a packed weekend. I don't even think you realize. So first of all, I saw GCU win on Friday night. That was great. Basketball, very fun. Unfortunately, they did not make it in last night's game, so they're out of March Madness.
Okay.
On Saturday, I hiked Camelback Mountain for the first time. That was great. And Sunday, I had an event with the Art Deco Society at the Biltmore, and I saw what I thought was Nancy Davis's home, and it turns out it was Glenn Campbell's home. That's probably the first time in all of history that you'll ever hear somebody be disappointed that something was owned by Glenn Campbell.
Isn't that funny? That's a good
line.
I did
not know that the Reagans honeymooned there.
Oh, at the Biltmore?
Yes, they did at the Biltmore. There are pictures of them, and I was told that 28 Biltmore was Nancy Davis's home.
No.
Unfortunately, that is not true, and the tour guide perhaps deceived us.
Yeah, perhaps. It's a little bit down the road a spell. All right, good. We'll go to David Marcus when we come back. You can follow him on Twix at Blue Box Dave. He and I will be with you when we come right back.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.